Our first speaker, future priest Deacon Jacob. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Now today, I'll be speaking about being humble. We know Pastor Yishel Hawkins has always told us to become humble, and we know that the prophets and apostles, even Yahshua, Messiah, our Savior, the high priest over the house of Yahweh, said to be humble, like the little children. Now for my first scripture, if you turn to Matthew 18, verse 1 through 5. It says, "The greatest in the kingdom of Yahweh. At that time, the disciples came to Yahshua, asking, 'Who is the greatest in the kingdom of Yahweh?' Then Yahshua called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like this little child, or like little children, you will not enter into the kingdom of Yahweh. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of Yahweh. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me." So he said we need to be humble like little children. And then that side note says he calls them little children now, who humbles themselves with all humility and subjection, because they submit to their parents. Children submit to their parents. And that's what we need to do to be like Yahshua. We need to submit to Pastor Yishel Hawkins. And we need to practice the laws of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. Now, we always have to have the attitude of servitude. We know, for example, the concession stand. They serve us in the morning, giving us our food. They're humble. They always give us our food. The butter house, making fresh butter for us to eat with our butter and honey. The cheese house, making cheese for us to eat. The slaughterhouse, providing us with clean, fresh, healthy meat. They're serving us. Now, we always have to be humble. If we're not humble, we won't enter the kingdom of Yahweh. Now in Psalms, well, turn to Matthew 23. Matthew 23, verse 11 through 12. And it says, whoever will exalt himself will be abased, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, you shut the door to the kingdom of Yahweh in men's faces. For you yourselves will not go in, nor will you allow those who do not come in to go in. So you see there that he who is proud and arrogant, who doesn't follow the one sent, will be abased. But he who humbles himself, like the little children, those will be the ones that will be exalted and will enter the kingdom of Yahweh. So always remember to be humble. And we know, like Yahshua said, be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. So remember, be humble, have the attitude of servitude. That's what the kingdom of Yahweh is all about, having this attitude of servitude. And with that, I'll turn it over for prayer.
Future priest Melchizedek Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Now today, I'd like to speak on the topic of I'd like to speak on the topic of worldly music, the effects it has on the mind. Now, I've decided to speak on this topic because Overseer Yeshua Hawkins has tried to get this out for many years, and I hope people aren't still listening to it in the house of Yahweh. Now, let everyone turn over to 1 Corinthians 10. verses 20 and 21. It says, "But I say that the things which are the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to Yahweh, and I do not want to have fellowship with demons." And verse 21, it says, "You cannot drink of the cup of Yahweh and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of Yahweh's table and the table of demons." Now, this is the house of Yahweh, not the house of God. Now, in the house of God, in the churches on Sunday, whenever everyone comes in, they have the worldly music playing. But in the house of Yahweh, on Sabbaths, whenever we come to Sabbath services, we have house of Yahweh music playing, the stuff that's beneficial for us. Now, we need to get this 100% out of our lives. And those who are still listening to it need to nip it in the bud. Now, Satan loves it when she could get one to turn from the teaching to the house of Yahweh. And they're becoming just like Satan herself. And let's everyone turn over to 1 Yochanan 2 verses 6. It's on page 964, right after page 965. And it says, "He who says he abides in him is himself also obligated to walk exactly as he walked." Now, also let everyone turn over to Galatians 13, verses 27. Galatians, and it talks about the same thing. And Overseer Yeshua Hawkins shut down the music in 2007. Now, Yahshua was also tempted and tested. And let's turn over to Matthew 4. Matthew 4, and it says, "And Yahshua was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry." And verse 3 says, "So the tempter came to him, and she said, 'If you are the Son of Yahweh, command these stones to be turned into bread.'" And you could tell by his response there in verse 4, he always had scripture on his mind. Verse 4 says, "But he answered and said, 'It is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh.'" And in the next scripture, or in this next verse here, it shows how she even used scripture to try to deceive him, but he always had scripture on his mind to back him up. And it says, "Then the devil took him into the holy city and set him on the principal of the sacred precincts of the house of Yahweh, and said to him, 'If you are the Son of Yahweh, throw yourself down.'" And Satan used scripture here, and she says, "For it is written, man, his Malachim will give charts concerning you to keep you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands if you should strike your foot against the stone." And Yahshua, this is the same thing that the Pope uses today. He has his forked tongue, and he'll give some scripture, and he'll mix it in with the evil. Now, Yahshua said to her, it is also written, 'You must not test Yahweh your Father.'" Now, let's also turn over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 6. Second Corinthians 6, verses 14 through 17. And it says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what fellowship does light have with darkness? There's no fellowship between this, because if you turn on the lights in your house, it'll light up the whole house. But if you turn off the lights, it'll become dark." Now, verse 15 says, "And what harmony can there be between Messiah and Baal, worthless Satan? Or what share does a believer have with the undefiled, untrustworthy, not faithful, not loyal, or true?" And verse 16 says, "And what agreement does the house of Yahweh have with God's? For we are the house of the living Father. As Yahweh has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their Father, and they will be my people." Now, verse 17 says, "Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says Yahweh. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Now, some people believe that this may be a little sin, but it's not a little sin. It's a big sin, because it will still get us burned in the lake of fire. Now, if we are listening to worldly music, we're allowing Satan to teach us. And you're walking in the same footsteps as her. Let's turn over to Yochanan 8, verses 44. Yochanan 8, verses 44, it's on page 825. And it says, "You are of your teacher, who is Satan the devil, and whatever she who is your teacher desires, you will do. She was a murderer from the beginning and remained not in the truth, because there is no truth in her. Therefore, when you speak your falsehoods, you speak her words, because she is a liar and the teacher of all lies." Let's also turn over to Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19. And it says, "I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you this day, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses, because you are free agent to make your own choices between righteousness and evil. Therefore, choose life so both you and your children may live." Now, you're not choosing life whenever you choose to listen to the worldly music. Now, the songs today, they promote negative actions such as violence, alcohol abuse, drug abuse, and the list goes on and on. And the music today makes people think that it is acceptable to act in this way. And it confuses your decisions and it confuses your mind. Now, I have an article here, and it says, "Under the influence of music." Now, teenagers listen to an average of nearly 2.5 hours of music per day, and guess what they're hearing about? It says 1 in 3 popular songs contain explicit references to drug or alcohol use, according to the new report in the archives. And this means that kids are receiving up to 35 references to substance abuse for every hour of music they listen to, the authors determined. Now, it also says that while songs about drugs and access are nothing new, the issue is getting more attention because so many children now have regular access to this, to the music out of the earshot to parents. And nearly 9 out of 10 adolescents and teens have a phone, an MP3 player, a disc player in their bedrooms, and they listen to this stuff. And this is the stuff that's going into their minds, and they make these poor decisions. And it says, "Studies have long shown the media messages have a pronounced impact on the childhood risky behaviors and exposures to these images of smoking in the movies and influences a child's risk for picking up the habit." So, they're taught something in the music or the movies or things like this, and then they pick up the habit of doing it. Now, it also says that Researchers from the University of Pittsburgh of Medical studied the 279 most popular songs from 2005. So they took the most popular songs, the ones that were making millions of dollars, and from the reports from the Billboard magazine, which tracks the popular songs, whether a song contained a reference to drug and alcohol, violence, and the pop songs, it was only 9%, and that jumped to 14%. And the R&B songs and the hip songs, it was 20%, and the country songs was 36%, and the rap songs were 77%. Now, but notice here, all types of music contain one or more of these unrighteous acts, and it's not just one type of music, it's all the music. It also talks about how it also talks about the movies and the cartoons and these things, and how it's music is well known to connect deeply with the adolescents and to influence the development, perhaps more than any other entertainment media, and said the study authors. Now, in conclusion, I'd like to say we need to become like gold, and we need to get this music out of our lives so we can be in the kingdom. Now, with that, I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, saints of Yahweh. You may be seated. What a great and wonderful day it is today here at the house of Yahweh. I wouldn't want to be any other place on this earth. Praise Yahweh. It's an honor and a privilege to be able to speak to the saints of Yahweh today. And what I'd like to do is start out by getting you to think a little bit about patience. Be patient. That's the title of this sermon. Be patient. Be thinking about that. And be patient with me while I bring this message. The first thing we need to ask ourselves, I guess, is why patience is so important. And I want to read something to you. It's out of the Webster's New Dictionary and Thesaurus. And the word patience is being patient, calm endurance. Notice the word calm. Then patient is enduring pain, trouble, etc. Now get this next part right here. This is extremely important, okay? So patience, enduring pain, trouble, etc. without complaining. Without complaining. Calmly tolerating delay, confusion, etc. Calmly tolerating delay, confusion, etc. Remember, Yahweh said, you know, don't worry if I delay this a little bit. Everything's going to come to pass. And then confusion. Look at the confusion that Yahweh has been patient with us about. Look at the confusion that pastor is patient with us about. He practices patience with us, and we need to learn to practice patience with others. It also means diligent and persevering. But I want you to really remember that without complaining, okay? So in the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, patience is quite a big deal. Because without patience, you can't have self-control. You have to have self-control to have patience. On page 20 of the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, Building Moral Excellence, it says patience is demonstrating self-control and remaining calm through setbacks. Remaining calm through setbacks, demonstrating self-control. Now, I'm trying to take this at a kind of slow pace for everybody who's just getting involved in the peaceful solution, and for anybody listening out there who's not really that aware of the teachings of the House of Yahweh, you may have just tuned in. Well, stick around. Stick with us here a little bit, because this is going to teach us how to conduct ourselves and how to make your life much more wonderful. So being patient, being the one to apologize, this is one thing that I noticed, and I'm going to share a story with you. We're told to be peacemakers, right? And we can be peacemakers by being the patient one. We can be peacemakers by... I'm sorry, I'm in class. We can be peacemakers by being the patient one, by being the one to say, I'm sorry. And just to share a story with you, there was a man that I knew of that had a close family member, that this family member, something occurred, you know, and the family member got a little bit offended about something. And for approximately 3 years, if not a little bit longer, this family member would, you know, look at the person, his brother is who it was, but he looked at him and he would, you know, grudgingly say, you know, hello. And, you know, really didn't want to be around him, didn't want to help do anything, didn't want to have anything to do with him. And so something came about which brought... The other family member was wondering, you know, what did I do? You know, what's going on here? And really never could talk to the person, never got anywhere with it. And so they were just patient. They just remained calm through the situation and tried not to, you know, talk bad about the person and spread rumors and gossip and everything else. And along the way, what occurred was something else came up, another situation with that particular family member. And again, that particular family member was offended again at something that this person did. And I hope I'm making this clear. Upon thinking about the matter, the one that had done the offense or the presumed offense, whichever it may be, decided to, you know what, I'm going to be a peacemaker. I'm going to see if I can solve this once and for all. And he didn't go up to the man and say, well, I forgive you for your accusations. I forgive you for your holding a grudge towards me and all that. You know, that's not the way that you practice peace. When you forgive somebody, you really do forgive them. That's not forgiveness when you go and talk to somebody like that. When you forgive somebody, you really forgive them, even to the point to where you're the one asking for forgiveness. Think about it. If there's something going on, praise Yahweh, if there's something going on where there's been a presumed offense and you're not having a great time in dealing with it, nothing's really come to, you've not had a conclusion of the matter, you know, you might try this. You might just go up to the person and say, now I saw this occur with these men. The man went to this man and said, you know, I'm very sorry for what I did. And it wasn't anything, it wasn't false, it wasn't fake. You can't fake anything like that. I saw it take place, and I would that everybody would practice this, including myself, and to remember this all the time, to be the one to say, you know, I'm sorry, obviously I've done something wrong. And you know what? The situation was solved, and from that moment on, these two, again, were brothers, we're family members. Excuse me, I'm in class. And so they became patient with each other. They started practicing patience in everything that they did, and now they're very close. And so I encourage you to think about this and think about your brother, think about your wife, think about your children. Think about anybody that you run into, anybody that you know. Think about it and realize that, you know, you can be the peacemaker. You can be the one to say, I'm sorry, even though you didn't think you did anything wrong, even though you may not have done anything wrong. Obviously, someone perceived something was wrong, And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, and it will create peace in your life. Out of the mouth of babes, this is... Look, I told you already, I'm in class now, please... I'm sorry, please stop coming. I'm sorry. Okay, so we got to practice patience with everybody. And sometimes things occur at inopportune times. So I'd like you to keep that in mind. You have to be ready for any situation. I apologize for my rudeness. I'll have to see if I can get back with this person later. And I need, obviously, to be more patient. So what you may find is that in your everyday struggles, in your everyday life, things are going to come up along the way that trip you up a little bit. Remember what Pastor said? You know, set the roadblock there in advance and learn how to deal with it so when it really comes up, you're not going to do something stupid like I just did. Okay? But out of the mouth of babes, this is something I noticed in a recent experience with the missionary team. We dealt with a situation with a kind of rough crowd. There it goes again. I'm sure they'll be patient and waiting on me. Thank you. So anyway, we were dealing with a pretty rough crowd, and it's hard sometimes when you're dealing with a rowdy bunch, if you will. That's the best way I can put it. It's hard sometimes. You know, they're sitting there talking about you, pointing at you, stuff like that, you know, and it's kind of hard to deal with them. But what makes the difference, and what makes the difference in anything you do in the work of Yahweh is this. If you can take your mind off yourself for a minute and put it on the people you're dealing with, put it on them, knowing that these people need the message that you're bringing to them, knowing that you need to have empathy for them because you've been exactly where they are. To whatever degree, I don't care if you've ever been in trouble with the police or anything like that, to whatever degree you have been in trouble with Yahweh, and so are they, and that's the message we're bringing them to try to get them and pull them out of trouble with Yahweh, if you will, okay? And so this teacher comes in, an administrator actually, and she began saying how she appreciated the work that we were doing, and that it was obvious that we had empathy towards the people. And she went on to explain that she really focuses on that when even hiring people, that if they don't have the empathy, they could have all the degrees and everything else and be just perfect in every way, but if they don't have that empathy, that great character trait, that great positive character trait of empathy for others, that care and concern, then she doesn't hire them. Because she knows they're not going to last there. They're going to get frustrated. They're going to get mad. They're going to blow up at the people. You have to have empathy for the people you're dealing with, and you have to have patience, okay? And she brought this to my mind, this empathy. In fact, I had to think about it a little bit and look at myself and say, you know, am I practicing always empathy and patience with everybody else that I deal with every day? I had to ask myself that. And I would that all of us today ask ourselves that, especially on this holy Sabbath day, so that we can show empathy to our brothers, so that we can show empathy to our wives, our children, anybody. Do you remember when I first read that about patience, the definition of patience, not only in the Peaceful Solution, but also in the dictionaries? It's without complaining, right? So now... I would I could share all these scriptures with you that I have, but let me just give you one or two of them real quick. It's very, very important. If you'll turn to page 927, please. Page 927. For those of you that don't have a book of Yahweh, I recommend you get one, but if you don't have one, you can turn to Colossians 3. And verse 13. I'm going to go ahead and read it. It says, being patient with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, just as Messiah forgave you, you must also forgive. And yes, we are forgiven. We are forgiven. We ask for forgiveness.
but being patient with one another and forgiving one another. Being patient, that means without complaining. You know, complaining doesn't help solve the situation. Because first of all, that shows that you're not being what? Patient. If you're complaining about a situation, you are not being patient. Because remember the definition? We just read it. Calmly enduring, you know, without complaining, right? So please, let's get that in our head. If you're complaining, you are not practicing patience, all right? And the scriptures tell us to be patient with one another and forgive one another. I have to read this out of the Peaceful Solution real quick. It says, a patient person is able to wait calmly and without complaining for the things that they value and want. Patience also extends to how you treat others, especially if they are antagonistic or hostile. Get that? That doesn't give us the right to come back at them. In many ways, patience and self-control go hand in hand to maintain your composure or delay gratification. Requires you to avoid acting impulsively. Calm, careful, consideration of a situation is the way to practice this patience. I've got another scripture I really need to share with you. Turn to page 930, please. And it's 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 14. Page 930. Now we exhort you, brothers, warn those who are unruly, not keeping in the ranks, out of order among you. Comfort the downhearted. Support the weak. Be patient toward all. Be patient towards all. Okay? Very, very, very important, this patience. So when your children are doing something that you don't like, when you've tried to correct them and they're still doing that thing, and you're just about fed up with it and you want to yell at them and go off on them and all this, guess what? Why don't you try not complaining? Why don't you try being patient? You don't have to call the Kahan and say, Kahan, they're doing this again. I'm telling you, you should see this now, what they're doing. It's not like that. If you're complaining, you know, why don't you call and ask, Kahan, I'm trying to help my children to conduct themselves better. And we're looking at the Peaceful Solution, and I wondered if I'm missing anything that you can help me with in order to teach my children. I wonder if I'm missing anything here. Maybe you can give me some pointers on how to teach my children the Peaceful Solution and how to conduct themselves properly. That's the way to handle the situation. You don't have to call and complain. Because I'm going to ask you this one more time. If you want to practice patience, if you're complaining, are you practicing patience? No. If you're complaining, you are not practicing patience. We've already read it. The dictionary told us. The Peaceful Solution told us. It's in the scriptures. I got all kinds of more scriptures I could share with you, but I don't have time right now. You can write down Proverbs 15:18. You can write down 2 Timothy 2:24. And you know what? You can pick up a concordance or go to the Book of Yahweh computerized and plug in patience, and you can sit there for hours learning about patience, okay? And now if you'll all please stand. It's my great honor and privilege to now turn this over to the great Kahan, Sefania Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh! Welcome, everyone. Please be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. We have several news stories, of course, showing the unfolding of prophecies. And the first one is CNN, and it's a DA. I think it's a DA, but he's talking about how parents are responsible for children's behavior, and he's talking about an event that occurred in, I think it's Steubenville, Ohio. But listen to this man, because it's obvious he's being influenced by the house of Yahweh. And a lot of people are. They're thinking deeply about these matters. And he's saying that parents must teach right from wrong. And it's really the parents' fault. And of course, it's really the parents' parents' fault, which is the system. And then we have a new giant planet is discovered. And it's inexplicable by any of their current theories, they say. But what they say in this is this planet doesn't fit any of their models. And they say it doesn't fit their formation models. And that's Latin. And it doesn't sound like Latin, but it's Latin. And what it means in English is, we have no idea what we're doing. That's what it means in English. But the scientists never want to say that, but notice it says it doesn't fit any of their models. So none of their models are right. In other words, none of their ideas for how the universe came here are correct. So that's Latin, and it's English. We have no idea what we're doing. And then we have a man, Ethan Crouch. He was a 16-year-old. Ethan Couch, he was a 16-year-old, and he got in a car accident, and he killed four people, and they wanted to sentence him to prison for 20 years. And the funny thing is that the court basically diagnosed him as having affluenza, and because he was affluent and he had no teaching of right and wrong. And this is another case of Latin, affluenza, and you can look this up. But in English, it means Christianity. Okay, it's affluenza. He was basically diagnosed with Christianity. And listen to them talk, and you'll see that's exactly what it means. And then we have the underwater sea laboratory, which is coral dying because of viruses worldwide. And they get into this point, but really what's going on here is they're not quite saying it. It's so serious they have this laboratory underwater, and they're spending all this money because they recognize the problem. It's almost like they don't quite want to say how bad it is, but they're recognizing it. And then we have some pictures of some things that were seen in the clouds, and so let's play the news. Okay, now just you can remain seated for a second here, or you can stand. But the dates were on 10/26 was when the picture was taken, 11/2 was when the picture was moved from the camera, and 11/9 was when Pastor called about it. So everyone please stand. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kohan Israel Hawkins!
Hello everyone! You're looking great! This is beautiful. That got you to going, I know. May the peace of Yahweh be, you may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I would that have made it plainer on the on the planet, this planet that was seen. This knocks out all the theories, which that's all they were anyway, was theories, like the affluenza Pope. he doesn't have any idea what he's doing or what he's even saying. Affluenza, that's sickness of the world right now. That word is going to grow and mature and be used a lot, especially by me. This planet, though, they should have stressed all this. It's coming out more information on it later, and we're already applied to get the magazine. It's not printed yet, but we will have it. But now they say if this planet was here, if it had been here yesterday, we'd have seen it yesterday. If it had been here last week or two, we'd have saw it last week or so. But it wasn't. It wasn't there. And all of a sudden, it's there. Just overnight. Now, this is impossible, right? In one day to create an Earth? I mean, a planet? In one day? Well, that's what Yahweh can do in one day. And it brings to light what Genesis says about creation. And of course, they don't know what is taking place. They say it's impossible. There's no way it could be there, but it's there. Well, isn't that beautiful? something else that's there right now is a total of 49,000 newspapers running the article, "The House of Yahweh Releases New Article," they say, will expose true intentions of the Catholic Church. And some of the 49,440, a few places was the Roman Catholic Church Newswire, They ran it. Not only did they run it, they run 17 other articles. I'm glad they're getting this to their people. That is, the people that are watching them, because of the fact that Yahweh is calling right now, and there's going to be a huge number of people come out of this deception that's going throughout the world right now. It's really bad, and the world is falling at the same time this is going, and it's going to get worse. Seattle News, that is a very large newspaper, got Newswire, that's UK, United Kingdom, Press Telegram, Long Beach, California. Those are just a few that they printed here that's running that story. And of course, the global warming can be stopped if we act now, says House of Yahweh in new article. That's up to 63,232. News media's running that. This planet, I don't know if you caught it or not, but it's 11 times larger than the largest planet that exists. 11 times larger. That is one huge planet. The largest planet that existed, I believe, is Jupiter. And I think, I'm going by memory. believe it or not, I took a class in astronomy, I think it's about 100 years ago from what I remember of it. But I believe that the Jupiter is 11 times larger than the Earth. Now, that's probably wrong, but that's what's coming to my mind. The giant planet that has been found orbiting its star at 650 times the average of Earth's sun distance. The planet currently known as HD, if you want to write that down, you can look it up later on Google or whatever. It's H. Henry D. David 106906. 106906 B. Boy. Weighs in at 11 times the mass of Jupiter. And that is wonderful. And created in one day. And they all said it was impossible. You know, you're going to be able to do that one of these days. And and then you'll be able to say to a mountain, move from here to there, and these little things that make up that mountain that only the house of Yahweh seems to be able to understand right now, but those little things that make up that mountain will start moving it, and it'll be there either overnight or however fast you tell them to do it. under this, I hope you caught that about the underwater laboratory. The problem is the earth is dying. The seas, the land that we're raising food on, it's all coming to an end. And like the affluenza Christian or Christianity or Catholic Church, we have no answers, they say. We don't know. We don't know what to do. You know, it's there, we've created it, but we don't know what to do with it now. It's dying because of viruses worldwide, because of viruses that we have created. This article says we've reached the end of antibiotics. Well, antibiotics, as you know, started with penicillin. Found about 1928, if my memory don't fail me, about 1928. And of course, after the knowledge was increased and we got computers, started working with computers, then we could produce not only penicillin, but all kinds of antibiotics. And then but they started failing us years ago. Penicillin started, all it did was create new viruses, new bacterium. There was a lot of things created by penicillin that no one said anything about, but it created new bugs and mutations of bugs. It killed part of them. One scientist said that even if you got one that killed up to 99.99%, which would leave you 1%, that 1% becomes stronger. And that's what takes place with what took place with penicillin. The penicillin, they thought it was a miracle drug, and this is the way they proclaimed it because they were making gobs of money out of it. But it started, now you got to get this in your mind. This started a revolution in the virus and bacterial world, the microorganism world. And of course that they have grown stronger. These bacterium and the viruses that have lived through this and mutated and become stronger, they also bred stronger microorganisms. And every year they get stronger, and science knows this, and now they're alarmed. They're saying, you know, we're reached the end of antibiotics. This wasn't said by some quack preacher like you see advertising Christmas today, who is another one that don't even know what they're doing, like the one that advertised Halloween and said, well, we know it's evil, we know, but it makes no difference where it came from. It's still a great fun thing to go out and have fun with your children on that night. well, of course, influenza was what he had too. But this man is the top CDC, that's a Center for the Disease Control expert. He's an expert there with them at this time. He declares we've reached the end of antibiotics, that miracle drugs that have saved millions. Well, it probably something else could have been used that was better, but it acted quickly to relieve symptoms or to erase symptoms. It really didn't cure, it just eased the symptoms, and of course the bugs, that 1% that they know now, not only had a field to where it could grow faster and multiply faster, but also it was stronger than the previous antibiotic. I mean, the biotic, the drugs. It was stronger. Miracle drugs that have saved millions, he says, are no match against superbugs because people have over-medicated themselves. They don't really say what over-medication is, but people are using it, using the drugs, instead of getting rid of the cause. The House of Yahweh, the peaceful solution, character education, your Bible, the book of Yahweh, it tells you what to do to stop the cause. And we could stop the cause of sickness right now. We could teach the world how to stop the cause of sickness. And that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing, but how many of them will hear? As the prophet says, who has heard our report? Well, there's some. There's going to be 2 billion people brought out of this, but the longer the Pope holds on to Yahweh's people and refuses to let them go, as we're asking him to do today, to let my people go, he's the Pharaoh of today. And of course, the longer he holds Yahweh's people, the worse these curses, these plagues are going to get. But they've come to the point now where they're multiplied to the point to where they can really spread throughout the earth like the planet that appeared overnight, you know, or in 1 hour, It appeared so fast that it wasn't there 1 minute, but it was there a few minutes later when they looked again, or a few days later. Well, a high-ranking official with the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, they don't offer prevention. This is the problem. The Book of Yahweh offers prevention. The Peaceful Solution Character Education Program offers prevention. A high-ranking official with the Center of Disease Control and Prevention has declared in an interview with PBS that the age of antibiotics has come to an end. For a long time, there have been newspaper stories and covers of magazines that talked about the end of antibiotics, question mark, said Dr. Servazan. Now I would say you can change the title to the end of antibiotics and put a period there instead of a question mark. The associate director of the Center for Disease Control sat down with the front line over the summer for a lengthy interview about the growing problem of antibacterial resistance. He names a few diseases here. Then he says, we're in the post-antibiotic era, he said. There are patients for whom we have no therapy. There are patients, and there are getting to be more of these patients, and it's going to get to the point to where Yahweh described it as the doors being locked, no one is allowed to come in, the house is quarantined, all the houses are quarantined. It's getting to that point. You could stop it now, Pope Francis. You could stop it now if you'd let Yahweh's people go right now. We could save you from having to suffer these plagues. The longer you go, the longer you refuse to let my people go, the worse these plagues are going to become. They will wipe you out. Your mind will be so confused. It's already confused. Every move that the United States Senate and lawmakers are putting out, you can see this boy, he had the trial. They were blaming the boy, the one that was blaming the parents and said it's the parents' responsibility. That man is stupid too. You know, who's standing behind the parent telling him this? Who is it the scripture shows is standing behind these parents and telling them, you don't have to follow these laws? They're all done away with. Look in your Bible and try to get some sense to work in here. Get your brain to working just a little. And you'll see it's not the child, it's not the parents, it's the leader of the world who is the Pope that's saying the laws are done away that would stop this from taking place. U.S. steps up the fight to save Florida's oranges. This is more of the same thing. U.S. steps up the fight. Well, what do they got? They want to find another antibiotic, another penicillin, to shoot this phyllids with, the little bug that's carrying this microorganism. The little bug is almost micro, but he's carrying another microorganism that we created with illegal sex acts called fornication, adultery, bestiality, and sodomy. And yes, it's in the coral reefs. It's killing the coral reefs. We know that. Even the first scientist that reported this years ago, I remember bringing that out, and the scientist says, it looks like AIDS to me. It's being attacked by AIDS. And they knew it then. Why haven't they done something about it? Are the preachers afraid to stand up against the Pope and say, we need these laws? We had a judge last week, a trainer of judges. that said, and we have it on interview, this man, Israel Hawkins, is bringing out something that the parents ourselves, we ourselves, should have taught to our children. Well, we got it on national television now, or should have in a day or so, what she's saying. And it's true. These things should have been brought. And they had it, they had the Bible laying there on a bookshelf somewhere drawing dust and never open it because the preacher says, oh, it's dangerous to read that. You might get confused and kill your family. You know, like Apple Head or Apple Pie Head or whatever his name was, who was a Christian, by the way, an affluent Christian who did that, supposedly. Maybe somebody else wiped him out. The citrus industry is facing a crisis. It's called citrus greening. Now, this is what they don't know. I just don't know what this is. We just know that this little bug here, this little green bug, is carrying it. So small, you can't see him without a magnifying glass. He's carrying this, and it's one mighty army that's going sweeping across our fields and killing our orange trees in Florida, in Texas, yeah, several places. But we're suffering from it right here. It's called mutations from STDs, mutations. Of all kinds. There's all kinds of them now. And they're attacking anything that they can find to eat. It's like a bunch of hungry wolves that's trying to find something to eat. A disease that has devastated orange production in Florida since it first showed up 8 years ago. New God, newly come up. Citrus greening is carried by PSYLLIDS. If you want to write it down, study it. We are. They won't tell you, but I can tell you right now, mankind created this little monster, and it's wiping out his citrus grove. Now, the citrus groves, what else will it find to eat? If you get it in your body, how long will it take it to get to your brain? Could it get to your brain? Well, we just don't know. It's like marijuana. They're passing laws to support and let the people have marijuana. You know why? Big money. Big business, big money. That's all they can think about. Big business, big money. That was the headlines yesterday on the Money Report. They're going to legalize marijuana, and they know it's going to bring their pockets full of money, that the government's going to get so much taxes off of this, they'll probably cut your taxes. You won't even have to pay it. This is the propaganda that's going out. No, they'll find some other missiles, some other kind of explosives, some other kind of destructive weapons that they will spend that money on, plus the money they're getting out of your pocket, too. That's our government. They are affluenza, too. Yes, just like the Pope. They get their training straight from the Pope. Tiny insects, no bigger than a pinpoint, a pinhead. That's what's carrying this. That's not it that's killing the plants, but it's carrying the microorganisms that's much smaller than it is that are killing the plants. And they call it citrus greening. Citrus greening. Pinhead. It is caused by a bacterium that makes the fruit bitter and unmarketable. They can make you sick, but they're actually taking aborted babies, and they're taking, this makes me think of it, and they'll probably do something like this to sweeten the orange juice. to take the bitterness out, but they're actually taking parts of aborted babies and putting it in your foods. Now, we're watching this, but you better be careful when you see the word flavorings. It doesn't tell you what it is. And we have to call, and sometimes we have to get, you know, rather bitter with the people to get them to tell us that, you know, because we say, well, we're going to have to know this, or we're going to have to call the newspapers in on it and see why you won't tell us what we're wanting to know here. Well, just a minute, let me talk to somebody over me. They want to keep these things secret, but we know it's taking place. And we know it's hidden under the word spices or flavorings. And of course, they could do the same thing with the orange juice, and this might be the first thing they'll come up with. What can we use to take this bitterness out? Well, this too is spreading throughout the world. Our food supply is getting less and less clean. Less and less things that you can get in the world today that is actually clean to eat. Satan in chapter 14 of Isaiah is the one behind this. The Pope is her instrument that runs around playing Santa Claus today and telling the women, you should be free. The world should be free. Now, he says, now, this comes to you straight from God. He should have said God's. He said, it's just a thought in the mind, a tiny thought in the mind that tells you what you need to do at the time when you're being out here in the world and you have to make a decision. Do I get in the back seat? Do I go with this? Do I commit fornication, adultery, whatever it is? Whatever this little voice tells you up here, you know, just yield to it. You're free. That's what you're supposed to be, is free. Now, don't listen to this guy out here that wants to set you on a path. And that's exactly what this man said. Don't listen to Israel Hawkins, because he's going to set you on a path and tell you this is a straight and narrow path. You must be free to play all these fields, to get to know these boys or get to know these girls, where he should have said get to defile these boys or defile these girls, which is exactly the same thing we're facing with these little bugs right here. That's how they were created, in the same manner by what he calls freedom. The man is Satan's tool to bring death to the whole world. And that's exactly what this man is doing. That's what he's bringing. He's telling the women. Now get this in your mind now, women. This thought's coming to your mind, so yield to it. That's what he's saying. He's playing on the women. Remember, Satan said, what I brought you out here recently, I'm going to rise above the stars. I'm going to lead these stars, the women, she said, and they are going to bring the destruction to the world. So Hollywood sells the stars, that is, the bodies of the stars, to the world, and we're so confused right now, we're killing babies, and then turning around and eating the babies. And the doctors that know that I'm right, they won't tell you that. They'll hide it. They do everything they possibly can to make money. And it's legal. It's legal. Well, who passed these laws to make it legal? The Catholic Church, the leader of the kings of the earth. We got a new cardinal in Texas, a mean one. Why do you think? Well, the gates of hell won't prevail against the house of Yahweh. California, Texas, and especially Florida were where it first took root. Many fear the disease could wipe out America's production of oranges, grapefruits, and lemons. It's a disease imported from Asia. That's a lie. They don't know where this disease came from. It could be created in any field. It could be created in any bed or any backseat of any car. But they say, well, it came from Asia. Let's blame Asia. Well, who you want to blame in Asia? Got any particular country you want us to wipe out now? They'll come up with one. Whoever the Catholic Church said, Malachi Martin said the Catholic Church is going to make war against certain countries. Which one of them would he name in Asia now? And said, well, we need to wipe them out because they're the ones that sent this bug out here. It's a disease imported from Asia since its first discovery in Florida in 2005. Citrus greens has cost the industry. This is the problem, the cost. $4 billion and 6,000 jobs. And Pope Francis, it's going to get worse, and your tithe is going to start dropping off. Your tithe and offering is going to start dropping off big time. The longer you hold my people, the worse it's going to get. But it's going to pick up steam now because it's going to take place, all of it, and you're going to get the brunt of it in this generation. That's the promise of the Savior. New HIV strain. This is where it comes from, Pope Francis. Listen to me. Sodomy started it. That was just the start of it. They started confusing the minds, it and your pork. Your pork from the gods. What's his name? Aris? What's her name? It's also a goddess. The pig that gave you permission to eat pork. You know what Catholicism means? Catholic means universal, but what does this word mean? It's a mystery, right? Well, I'm fixing to tell you what it means. Universal means, I used to think, the first thing came into my mind was, you know, it was all over the world, but that's not universal. Universe is the universe, see, out in the world. Where do they think they hide? In heaven, the demons they're worshiping, the ones that was kicked down to earth. What Catholic means and what universal means is they worship all the gods, all of them. They bar none. So why aren't they worshiping Yahweh? He's not a god. Yahweh is not a god. It means that's the reason they don't condemn sodomy. Anything that the gods permit, one of the gods, just one of them, they won't condemn anything that a god has written or inspired to be written. And it started back in Egypt. Universal. They accept all gods. That's the reason they took the name Yahweh out of the Holy Scriptures, and Constantine, he actually chose the name of two gods to replace the word Yeshua. And then they use gods and lords, which represent pharaohs, then the elders of Israel, then the priests of Israel that by violence took over the temple. And each time one of those died, they would deify him. They can deify anything. That's how stupid this thing is getting. But the gods have got to be laughing at human beings and saying, and Yahweh's going to put them over the universe? Ha, 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 ha. Ha. And all they got to do is look at the Catholic Church and see what the Catholic Church is doing, especially Pope Francis. He tries to quote scripture sometimes. I'll show you this closely, not this week, next week I hope. But he quotes it all wrong. It's like, Satan is putting it in his mind. Well, that's those little thoughts up here that he says he's getting from a god somewhere. And he's telling the women to yield to this thought that Satan is putting in their minds. And of course, Satan is cheering that, you know, because that's exactly what Scripture says that she's supposed to do. Well, the HIV strain may move to AIDS more quickly. The HIV strain may move to AIDS more quickly. Do you understand what he's saying? He's saying here that these are going to cross. They're going to crossbreed and become stronger. So you'll have HIV moving to, it takes about 15 years, I think, 5 to 15 years for it to move to AIDS now. But this one is going to move rapidly. So what I'm saying to the world is, what we've created, this monster we've created, this is not just in one thing here. It's not just in the bugs that's causing citrus greening. It's in all of these bugs that's taken over throughout the world. Many of them may be in your body right now. And if you're adding anything into your body that will hurt your defense system, the things that Yahweh says is unclean, then you're bringing down the army inside your body that would fight this. Your defense system, they admit, would fight these things off if it was strong enough. If it was strong enough. But you weaken it, Yahweh says. You cause an abomination to take place in your body when you eat pork. Then you have to find an antibiotic to start fighting it with. You know how many tons of antibiotics is used in the Vatican right now? It's enormous. I can't remember the number, but it's enormous. Now, the antibiotics are getting weaker. Before when the Black Plague, the bubonic plague, when those plagues hit Europe, the popes had nothing to fight it with. They had no answers like they do today. They have no answers. So they started dying off, and the Catholic Church was really hurt, a big blow, to where it weakened the whole church, and the people were saying, well, you have no answers. Why should I come here? The people who were wanting to put the Bible out to the world, they became stronger at that time. That is, in politically, because the church was weakened, it had no power. This opened the door to the printing of your Bible that the Pope held captive for almost 2,000 years. These little microorganisms that they created in their own bodies that became strong. Well, you've done it again now. You've opened the door where it's worse this time than it was back in the 1500s, 15 and 1600s. New HIV strain may move to AIDS more quickly. And that's what the whole article is about, is telling recombinants seem to be more vigorous and more aggressive. That's the God. We're making the gods stronger. The gods that we were fighting with the antibiotics. A macroscopic battle. Emerging and reemerging infectious diseases. Now, this was put out January 13th, 2007. The team, Emerging Infectious Diseases, refer to infectious diseases that have recently arisen and been discovered. Like the gods newly come up, as the scriptures say. West Nile virus, HIV, AIDS, SARS disease, and so forth. Currently considered as emerging infectious diseases. That is, they're getting stronger. By the 1950s, penicillin was created in 1928. I believe that's true. Well, by the 1950s, penicillin had begun losing its effectiveness against infections of Staphylococcus aureus, origin. The remainder of the 50s saw new influenza strains emerging. Now, that we were creating these. We were creating these with our own antibiotics that we had created ourselves. So we created these other things now that is coming, and they're getting stronger each year. They know they're getting stronger, but they're also getting resistant to the biotics, that the antibiotics that we're using to fight them with. The 70s, a resurgence of sexually transmitted diseases, as well as new diseases such as Legionnaire's disease, toxic shock syndrome, Lyme disease. Now these are all crossing, see? Each time they get in your body, it becomes a laboratory for them, and they hunt for them a mate. And it doesn't have to be one of their own species. And this, it can be an antibiotic. And they mate and they form a resistant disease. It's micro, yes, but you can see it moving through the citric orchards at this time in Florida and Texas and California. Yes, moving through them. It's very small. You can't see it. Thousands, a million can be on a pinhead. That's the little bug that's no larger than a pinhead. And when he gets to the fruit orchard, he turns them loose. Gone with the wind. In the 80s, HIV came into the picture along with resurgence of tuberculosis, but this time armed with antibiotic resistance. You see how the gods are taking over now? You see why the CDC is crying out and saying, you know, we're at the end. We are at the end of the antibiotic age. We have nothing left to fight with, and we have done everything we can to create new ones. I was told years ago by one of the doctors in the house that what they're fighting in the hospitals has now spread into the homes and spread out to where you can get it in other places. And they said, when a person comes to the hospital and they have one of these bacterium, that they don't have anything. They know that they're resistant to everything they have. So what they do, they use a shotgun blast, something like Combiotics, where it's a combination of all the biotics that we have. And they give that big shotgun blast to the person, hoping one of those antibiotics will be the one to kill this bug. Now, that was several years ago. Now we've come to the end. There's nothing more they can create. They've come to the end of antibiotics and their concern. The remainder of the 80s and on into the early 90s, the death rate from the infectious diseases rose drastically. The death rate, because they had nothing to fight it with. This goes on and on. I want to place that aside. I'm about out of time here, but I want to place that aside for just a moment and cover. Let's go over to Revelation 13, because this shows who's leading the world. And the district attorney, when he's saying, you know, the parents are responsible. Well, they're really not. They're doing what the Pope said. The Pope is the one that's a leader of the kings of the earth. When he's saying this, if you just wake up to the fact that the Christian world that is not being persecuted, that's Christianity, they're not being persecuted. He's pretending that they are in some of these Islamic countries. He's pretending that Christianity is being persecuted. I know for a fact that Christianity is never bothered until they start trying to molest the children in those countries or pass out literature to them that would cause them to be like the West. And then they're approached and they're told, we don't want this kind of stuff taught to our children. We don't want the diseases that is in the West to be brought here to our country, to our children. Now that's the reason they call that persecution. Well, the Pope stands up, now he's making the threat. There won't be a country unless it has Christianity. In other words, we're going to wipe you out if you don't let the Christians come in and do whatever they want to do. We won't have it, he says. He's the leader of the kings of the earth. In Revelations 13, we see this beastly system rise up out of the sea. The sea, according to Revelation 17, 15, is multitudes, nations, and tongues. He has seven heads. The seven heads, chapter 17, shows is seven hills or mountains on which this beastly system sits. Revelation 17, 18 says it's that great city that sits on seven hills, that's leader of the kings of the earth. His job, the Pope's job, of course, he's being led by Satan to destroy the whole world. She would like nothing better than, as Yeshua said, unless heaven and earth can be destroyed by her, the law of Yahweh is going to stand and it's going to go to the universe and it will bring peace to the world and the universe. Well, Satan knows this, and that's the reason Isaiah 14 shows that she wants to destroy the earth and, of course, the planets that govern the earth, the firmament and the stars that govern the earth. Take one of them away and the earth would suffer. Take the sun away. What do you think about that? Yahweh created that in one day. Take the sun away and you would perish in just a few minutes. Cover up the sun where it can't get through to you, through the rays can't get through. And it's only a matter of minutes till all life on earth is dead. All of those things govern the sun, govern the earth, for man, for mankind. That's the reason they were made. In 7 days, Yahweh made all of this. And this week, last week, he actually proved that he could do it again. A planet 11 times larger than the largest planet, and it appears overnight. It can't be. That can't be there. Well, it is. Well, here's the beastly system that's led by the dragon, as verse 2 shows the last part. The dragon gave him his power and his throne and his great authority. Great authority? To deceive the whole world, Revelations 12, 9. He has the authority to deceive the whole world, and he's going to. Yes, all the world will follow him, he says here. And he comes in blasphemy against the name. In verse 5, and there was given to him, verse 4, and they worshiped him. They worshiped the dragon, which gave power to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, this beast that sits on seven hills. that's leader of the kings of the earth. Surely anyone can see that. What other nation, what other city sits on seven hills that has an active part in our government here? Only one. The city that sits on seven hills has the beastly system that blasphemes the name of Yahweh, that took it out, removed it from the scripture, because Yahweh is not a god, and they worship gods, all the gods. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? So we see that this is a forceful system, and that's what the Roman, the fourth beast was, with the huge Roman army. It was forcing the people to give up Yahweh and his laws and force them to come and worship gods. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to make war for 42 moons. Well, we're about to come to this time period now. You need to read the Mark of the Beast again. If you haven't read it lately, you need to read it again. That Mark of the Beast was the first book that Yahweh inspired me to write, Mark of the Beast 1 and 2. And as Yedidiah, my great friend Yedidiah, he wrote me a letter. He said he is walking to work. They allow him to walk to the field or walk to work. He is walking to work, and I guess moaning, but anyway, he looked up, and there was my face looking at him. Beautiful. Kohan Benaiah brought that to me the other day. I praise Yahweh. She don't want to set her prisoners free, but we will. We won't do it. Now, you don't, look here now. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against Yahweh. Who does that today? All of Christianity does that today. The Muslims don't. The Islamic don't. They know that's the name of the Creator, and they all admit it. They follow their God, but they admit that Yahweh was the name of the Creator, and that glory has never been given to anyone else. Yahweh has governed it completely. He nobody wanted it. In fact, till the house of Yahweh, till Yahweh said, in the last days I will establish my house, then that's when it came into popularity. We had claim. We're the only one that had claim to it. And then people wanted to sue us to get the name. That is Satan's people wanting to sue us and take the name away from the house of Yahweh. They didn't even want it before that. Now it's here, just as prophecy said it would be. How do you explain that? It can't be. That can't be here. Hey, look and see if it's established. Yeah, it's established. Yeah, the newspapers had that. Hey, well, look and see if this is legally established. Yeah, it's legally established. Yeah, well, we don't have anything to fight there with. It's like the planet. Where did that come from? That can't be there. Well, Yahweh said it would be there. How do you explain that it's there now without explaining Yahweh and having some faith in Yahweh? It's here. And they're still blaspheming the name of Yahweh and his house. Blaspheme his house and those who dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority was given unto him over all the tribes and peoples and languages and nations, and all who dwell upon the earth will worship him whose names have not been written from the foundations of the world. That is, they're not in this prophesied group. There's no work, no work that is not prophesied by Yahweh. One more scripture. Turn back to Matithiah 24. And because the deception is going to get much worse than it is now. The world is filled with ignorance, as you can see. They can't control their minds, can't control their thoughts, and Satan is telling them, don't control your thoughts, yield to them. Just go ahead and yield to your thoughts. That's the way to go. Well, in the Savior now, he's speaking here, and he says in Matthew 24 and verse 12, he says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. You see that? Iniquity. You got that? Iniquity? The word iniquity. Iniquity means doing away with the laws. That's what we're seeing that's spreading the diseases right here. That's what started the diseases. That's what built them up. And now they're saying, we don't even know where they came from. How did they get here? Why are they here now? They weren't here a few years ago. Why now are they multiplying? That's the questions our scientists are asking. And we're telling them, read Isaiah 24. And you will see why they're here. Read Leviticus 18 and you'll see how we created these diseases. Everything Yahweh tells you is coming to pass, including the creation of his house, the establishment of his house in these last days. And what it's going to be doing. Verse 14 shows you what his house is going to be doing, plus a number of other scriptures. But look at verse 5. He says, and many will come against my name, saying, I am anointed to preach salvation and will deceive many. This is a part of the deception. Look at verse 11. Verse 11, many false prophets will arise and will deceive many. And then iniquity will abound. Look at verse 24. Verse 24, and there will arise false messiahs and false prophets who will show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. The very elect is, now get this, listen to me, what are the elect? Chapter 7 of Revelation shows you some of the elect, a huge number of them. 2 billion people. You laugh at the prophecies? You think they're not going to come to pass? How did the house of Yahweh get here? There wasn't even a Bible for 2,000 years. How did it get here? It just appeared overnight. How did that planet get in the sky? It wasn't there yesterday. Here it is, and it's bigger, 11 times bigger than anything in the sky. How? How on earth did they have a man called Buffalo Bill Hawkins? Who would possibly give that name to a man? Yahweh said he did. My kinfolks talked about that until they all died. They're all dead now. As far as I know, I don't have any, maybe nephews or something like that. But they talked about that miracle name because they know that out of a boy's mouth that was only 1 year old, his dad asked him, what would you name this boy? And loud and clear, the words came, Buffalo Bill Hawkins. And that was talked about even after my brother's death. And many people heard her say this. Many people here. Because she came here, my brother's wife, and then she came here and she visited with several of the women, and they all were in one place at one time. And she talked, first thing she talked about was, did I receive that letter from Jacob that he wrote in protest against me changing my name? He said, don't you know that your one-year-old brother named you? And everybody heard it. Well, of course, these are things that Yahweh prophesied. These are things that he brought about. Now he's going to bring 2 billion people here as the plagues start increasing. Now they're going to come out of great tribulation, as Matthew also shows, Matthew 24. They're going to come out of great tribulation. You need to get ready. We need teachers. Everybody needs to be a teacher of the peaceful solution. You need to be teaching it where you work. You need to be practicing it where you work. You need to become absolutely perfect. I believe right after the feast, you're going to start seeing the most of this. The feast is going to be a joyous feast. Curry says at the end of April, this last thing, that the 42 moons, we're going to see that fulfilled. He didn't say it in that way, but he doesn't know what the seven-year peace plan involves, the prophecy for the seven-year peace plan. But he said in the end of April, everything's on the go. No ifs, ands, and buts. It's going to be put through, he said, this time. and this time it's going to stay, he said. We're going to live through this. All of this is going to take place, don't forget, in this generation. This generation. Surely everyone knows what a generation is. We're in this generation right now. When the knowledge was increased, so that we can have penicillin and produce it in mass portions and overdose the world. Overdose the world. That's schools of higher learning. They have overdosed the world. Affluenza. That's what the whole world has got at this time. And that's the woman said, they said, well, is that a disease? Did they... And she said, well, did they call it a disease in court? And the person said, no. Well, she said, well, they should have. You got that. It was on the film. I hope you got it. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you.